the community. I've seen more in the community the last couple months in all of them.
Yeah.
Like, even Warpath.
Yeah.
Warpath Firefighter. People are just starting to just show up all kinds of stuff.
I found today, because I hopped on their site, that Death Ray Studios has Warpath movement trays that are like acrylic ones that are like designs on them. Maybe I'll talk about that.
Yeah, talk about Death Ray.
So, designs. Yeah, I'll talk about them, because they got some neat stuff.
Your version of my uncertain scenery. Yeah. Oh my god, I want to buy that stuff so bad.
Oh, it's so cool. If I wasn't moving...
If I didn't go to Disney World.
Getting married. Yeah. So let's see. Because, I mean, they've also got Kings of War movement trays.
Well, yeah, they've got...
I think it was in here. Warpath compatible trays.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Those are sweet.
Yeah.
I'll shiver my timbers.
Yar. $7.
Huh.
You get 4... sets of them?
Wow.
Up to 5s?
I have to look into that.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah. Because I was on there the other day, or like I think I saw an ad on Facebook, because I liked their page and everything, but I'm like, man, I haven't heard anything about new stuff from them in a while.
But yeah, looking at the Facebook groups, there's more traffic in the last few months than I've seen in a long time.
Star Saga 2. Star Saga is all huge. Of
them. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of people playing Star Saga all of a sudden.
Yeah. Science can't explain.
Squeaky chair can.
Yeah. So Vanguard's got 17?
You got 17 for Vanguard?
Where are with all these odd numbers? Bring friends, people.
Right? Because I can't be your ringer for Vanguard.
No.
So yeah, the numbers are good. But yeah, I figured as far as like talking about Star Saga and Dreadfall and Dead Zone, and it'd be more just talking about Dead Zone. Adepticon.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe even some of our experiences in the past couple Adepticons. And, pretty much because this comes out in about a week or so, which is 1 month till Adepticon. It's a perfect time to be talking about... our experience with Mantic and Adepticon. There I am talking with my hands again.
Yeah.
Put them down. There's no camera here.
You know, now that I think about it, well, we do the quick demos of Star Saga at the booth.
Yes.
But, like, if... I don't know. There's part of me that kind of, like, thinks if
we didn't have a Doom Ball,
replace one of the Doom Balls with a Star Saga.
I would love to do... Star Saga is something like Adepticon. Because Star Saga, you can do that custom mission. Which, all the other stuff that we do at Mantic, I mean, Mantic Night, we have Doom Ball, we have the Barroom Brawl. So this year he's got the Flight Path one with the Wingets, got to be kind of like, it's probably got to be a modified version of the Jet Bike Races.
I can see that, yeah.
And then there's something else, too.
I haven't heard.
There's something else. I don't know what it is. But you got all these minigames.
Yeah. Star Saga.
Let us play Star Saga.
As you were gesturing.
Because our audience can't see that.
Yeah. But, no, I think that'd be really sweet. Because then you can just go, and hey, it's down at the booth. But yeah, I mean, we had a blast playing it, like
You're recording at this point, right?
I am recording, yeah. Okay. I figured this can be the cold open.
This is that cold open? Yeah.
We always just kind of ease into this thing. I just hit record.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop.
And And then I just don't stop.
And we just keep going.
Yeah, until we've at least finished the show, and then another, like, 20 minutes or so. Another
20 minutes. Well, then if you didn't know already, this is Dead Zone the Podcast.
Welcome to Dead Zone the Podcast.
I'm Rick.
I'm Brian. And, yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely Rick. You're definitely Brian.
Yes. Yes. I'm pretty sure. It's been a long week.
it's been a long month.
Yeah. But I think we're okay on that point.
We're okay.
At least they're not confused. Like, I think Georgie on
oh, poor Georgie.
Friend of the show, Georgie, over at Family of Gamer 777, was a little confused, I think.
Well, maybe we'll be able to see Georgie at Adeptcon, and we could do an interview with Georgie.
We should do an interview with Georgie. That way he gets to know that we are not actually Rob and Jack.
Correct.
In disguise.
He really needs to know that we're not Jack.
Yeah, doing weird things with our voices and mannerisms.
I kind of felt sorry for Georgie, though, considering he thought that I was the one in charge. No, it's all Brian.
I mean, it's still pretty equal. I just do the recording
and stuff. Yeah, you do all the technical smart people things.
But yeah, so welcome to the show. As always, we got kind of a very loose,
you know. Yeah, but I like it.
Yeah,
I'm a fan of it.
It's got no idea. We get a good groove. yes, and feedback seems to be positive. No one has sent us hate mail yet. You're welcome to send us hate mail.
Or not.
Or don't. You know. More power to you.
Boomer's email.
Run into the mailbag. You know, send us messages on Facebook. that'll go over great.
Yeah.
So we got a couple of fun topics today. We got our usual unit highlight.
Yep. Unit highlight for today is the Marauders leader, the Commando Sergeant.
Yes. So.
So one of the reasons why we picked him is because you have three other leaders. Yep. You have the Marauder Warlord, who's very melee focused.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Bolts, who is the escalation leader.
Yeah.
But he's very, he works great with his two grunt bots.
Oh, the grunt bots?
Grunt bots, stunt bot, Bolts. They all work, but they work really specifically with him.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have everybody's go-to, the commando captain.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that steals stuff. He's my favorite leader for the Marauders. Actually, I think he's my favorite leader across the board.
Mm-hmm.
So that leads us to the Commando Sergeant. So, stat-wise, he's 18 points and 2 victory points.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a 1-2 movement, he's got 0 armor, and he's size 1.
Yep.
He shoots on a 5, he fights on a 4, and he survives on a 4, and he's tac 1.
Yeah.
He comes stock with a pistol, range 3. His weapon options are leader, small arms, and light melee.
Mm-hmm.
So his splat ability, by the numbers, you may spend an army special result on your command dice to reroll any normal test made by a model with the commando in their type name. So it's a free reroll.
Yeah.
Across the board. I mean, it's any normal roll.
On as many, like, dice as you want. Like, you don't have to reroll everything. If you got a bunch of 8s or successes or anything, it's just, these were the ones that I missed.
Yeah, you're not rerolling miss, you're rerolling a test.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty solid. And really, like, the commandos, like, it seems like initially kind of a limiting thing, because in the grand scheme, the Marauders have quite a variety
of... nice list.
Yeah, they've got a really nice list of different types of units, and only a handful of them really do have Commando in their name.
Well, it's 3. You have the Commando Specialist, the Commando, and then the Commando Sergeant.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all you have that in their name.
Mm-hmm.
But that's so...
It's still very much the bread and butter of...
Yeah, because the Commandos are your go-to jack-of-all-trades kind of fighter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you need them to open up your specialists anyways.
Yeah,
I mean, they're there's tough. A lot of people that will go with the mobbies.
Yeah.
A few will go with the Goran Auxiliary because they're cheap.
Yeah. I've been playing around with cheap units a little bit in a separate list. But it's always something where you really weigh is like, you know, is it worth?
Is it really a unit worth
that can barely do anything?
Just so you can bring that nasty robot.
Yeah, just to bring something a little bit bigger. You know, that's where you deck them out with a whole bunch of stuff to make it a little bit more items. Reasonable. But
items are our friends.
Yep. But anyway, we're talking about the Commando Sergeant.
Yes.
So.
So survive on a 4. That's pretty much across the board with Marauders.
Yeah, they're tough.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few in the group that don't survive on 4s, but pretty much everybody else does.
Mm-hmm.
Fight on a 4, it's respectful.
Yeah, he's scrappy. He can get in there and get in the thick of it.
The shoot on a 5 is not bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in fact, it's pretty much the mainstay Marauders leader shoots that.
Yeah.
It's 5. And same with Commandos. And sure, 5 is not your 4 or your Asterion 3.
Yeah. But it's still, you know, odds are you're still going to land a couple. And, you know, if you believe in the heart of the dice, like Yu-Gi-Oh taught me. You can go a long way. But yeah. So, I really like the unit. He's another one of those units where he's very affordable.
Yeah.
He's an inexpensive guy. His splat is actually really impressive for a unit that's kind of falls more into that combat-centric leader. Like, when Dead Zone version 2 would come out, it was between him and the captain as kind of the two options. They really did kind of highlight the, here's a really powerful secondary ability. Here's, you know, a more combat-centric guy. He still really holds his own in that respect.
He does. And he also leads to theme lists.
Yeah.
It's really simple. You throw together a commando theme list. So you have your sergeant, a couple commandos, a couple specialist commandos,
mm-hmm.
and then like a grunt bot or a stump bot or...
Or a Hulk or, you know...
The artillery track.
Yeah, the gun track.
Gun track, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And you just have that... Bottom line, we're orcs, leave us alone.
Yep.
We're smart orcs because we're marauders.
Yeah. I always love that about their lore.
Yes.
Is that they're wicked smart, they're not... And everyone Vicious. Thinks they're the barbarians. Everyone's in the universe has read, like, all these, you know, sci-fi and fantasy novels that paint them as mindless barbarians.
They're mindless idiots.
Yeah.
So we'll just use them as our front line.
Now, don't quote me, but it seems like there must be, like, Warhammer 40K novels in. Warhammer is a game within.
Warhammer is the game within the Warpath universe.
Yeah, that won't get us in trouble for saying that.
You might want to edit that one out.
Nah, I'm leaving it in. We're doing it live.
We're doing it!
But,
Oh, God, do you imagine us doing a live show?
No, that's
scary.
That would be fun. If you'd like to see us do a live show at Adepticon or some other big event, or Michigan GT would be a fun
Michigan
one
GT,
to do.
Yeah.
Hit us up, you know, write it right into the mailbag on the Facebook page. And we'll see what we can do. We were talking earlier actually about we're kind of limited on availability, but you know, if nothing else, maybe we could put something together. I think people might enjoy that. But back on the sergeant. I'm not intentionally leading us down different
dark
conversations
alleys.
So the one thing with him though. Is out of the box, he does come with just a pistol.
It's more than just that, too. I mean, he comes with just a pistol and he's TAC 1.
And TAC 1.
Those are the two weak spots for me when it comes to him.
Yeah. That said, I was playing around with it a little bit in Battlescribe and just kind of looking at the different options that it's like, okay, if he is just kind of a, you know, a little bit stronger commando, it could be fun to just give him a rifle to start off with, you know, really inexpensive, but it doubles his range and effectiveness as a combatant. And then also, because he does have that stronger fight stat, I was looking at giving him like the I think it's called Hronka.
Ah,
Frenzy yep. One.
Frenzy One.
Which, you know, fighting on fours with Frenzy One and you know, having the ability to potentially do rerolls on missed
yep.
dice, you know, that's not a bad place to be. He can really get into the thick of it with them. So he's one of those guys, like you're saying, he does fit theme list pretty well. I think because he's cheap, I think it'd be fun to do him and one of the living legends.
Oh, sure.
To kind of, that can really fill out your points. And do any of those guys have some extra tactician to throw?
Chief Makalaka has tech 2.
Okay. So that's definitely an option as well.
And Chief Rangard has
tech 1. Yeah. So he'd be about the same, but dude, that guy packs a punch. Oh, size 3, armor 1.
Yeah. He's kind of a beast.
Yeah. So that could be a great way to kind of balance him out when using him on a list is, I think, throwing a rifle his way just to give him a little bit more combat effectiveness. But really, that's all you'd really need to put on him to kind of up his game a little bit, I think. And then using him, you know, really making that the points you save go the distance when putting it towards... Well,
yeah, I mean, even you put a rifle on him, so he's at 24 points.
Yeah.
That's still incredibly cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking at...
And I dare say he's got better stats than, I think, our GCPS sergeant from the other week.
So that brings... Oh, sorry.
I think it would only be 20.
20.
Yeah.
So the next closest would be Bolt at 24. So he really is.
Mm-hmm. And the captain is how much out of
28 think? For the captain. Yeah. And the warlord is 26. So, I mean, you're paying for what you get with those other guys.
Mm-hmm.
Him, he's the cheapest, but you can, yeah, you can give him a rifle, you can give him some item.
He's not far away from being a really valuable asset to your list, not just being a leader you have hanging out in the back.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's on a recon 4.
Which is not too shabby at all.
Recon 4 is good. Good enough for me.
that's the fun thing about the Marauders. I know I feel like in the past they've kind of had a mixed reaction from people. Some people like them, some people don't.
And those of us that like the Marauders have always liked the Marauders, and we always will like the Marauders.
Yeah.
Just getting that out there.
I enjoy them from a lore perspective. I really do enjoy, like, they're a really well-rounded force.
But you've now had a chance to actually play them.
Yes. And now that I've done that, like, I really do like playing as them.
So last month you placed. Was that last month? Yeah, it was last month.
This is January. February. We're recording February. In February. That was January. Wow.
Yeah. So you took second?
I think I took second.
With Marauders.
Yes. Playing them for the second time.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a fun. Themed list too.
Yeah.
That was fun that you've had fun doing themed list with Marauders.
I absolutely love doing themed lists. So the Marauders are what my first themed list was, and it's actually because of Deads on the Podcast.
Yeah.
When Rob and Jack had it, and they would have Coach on, mm-hmm. and Georgie would show up, and I love goblins, so my first Marauders theme list was a goblin theme list.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no goblin leader at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, now there's Bolt, so my list is actually...
Now there's a...
Realistic. Chance. So I took a commando captain and I...
Kitbashed him.
Kitbashed him really... Like, I took his cape off, I took his hat, and I took his staff.
We're going to make sure there's a picture of this in the show notes, because that is still one of the favorite conversions I've ever seen.
And I took two goblins... And kind of, I did the hot water treatment and kind of moved around, and they're kind of
standing like up inside
disguise
the,
themselves
inside,
as
inside the captain's coat, and he's got the little hat on.
Yep. And I ran with him with Mobbeasts.
Yeah.
Because, so, doesn't matter what universe. It seems like Marauders, Orcs, O-R-K, Orcs, yeah. All the different types of Orcs / Goblins have always had these beasts with them.
Little mounts or
jump
dogs.
Jump over to Kings of War. Yeah. The Goblins there have the same mob beasts.
Mm-hmm.
So, in and then over in that 40K, they hit...
Squigs
or whatever. So there's always this kind of beast that goes along with goblins. So, sure, the list became Goblin's best friend. So my troop was mob beasts.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had... I took two goblin snipers.
Mm-hmm.
No, their stats are not the greatest. I mean, don't ever fight with a goblin. You know, fight on a 7, not so hot. But then I would take them, and then I would take the gun track.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the time, I didn't have a stunt bot.
Right.
Now I have stunt bots. I have multiple stunt bots.
Plural.
But yeah, so it was completely themed out goblin list. And I really think that was my first actual theme list in the Dead Zone universe.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, I've had quite a few others.
Yeah.
Thanks to you. I mean, when we went with our Gundam lists.
Yep. You did Forge Fathers in that.
Yep, I did Forge Fathers, and that one's right over there.
Yeah, sitting next to that Brush with Death.
Brush with Death trophy, because I was the only one input.
Hey, it still counts.
It counts. I have a feeling that I won't be the only one this time.
We shall see. But yeah.
So, speaking of that, Adeptgun, we have a month to go.
Yep. It is starting to get down to the wire.
I think what we should do is we should give a couple people some highlight shout-outs.
Yep.
On some of the things that we've seen online, because, like we were talking about earlier, the amount of people that I've seen on all the Fanatic sites.
Mm-hmm.
The Dead Zone Fanatic sites, the Dreadball Fanatic sites, the Star Saga Fanatic sites has blown up.
Yeah.
And we're now getting people in. I truly think that it's thanks to our friends over across the seas.
Yeah.
It's almost like they tried to get a spark going over there. And there's starting to be some people over here on this side of the pond that are, they're starting to look at Warpath again.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings us to, I would say, one of our first highlights. So you found this online. I didn't even realize they did this.
So there's this one company called Death Race Designs. I'm going to bring it up here. Da, 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 da. Edit that part out.
Oh, sure. You can edit your stuff out, but not mine. Yeah. I see how
when
it is.
When I'm putzing around. But yeah, so they're predominantly a terrain shop. They do some MDF designs for a lot of different game systems, for the Warhammer Infinity, stuff like that. AVP, I think, has got a couple of things in here designed for it. So 28mm. One of the things that I initially went to them for is that they had some really sweet, like, cyberpunk-esque like hotels and buildings.
Is that where your set is from?
Yeah.
That you got at DEFCON last year.
That I got at DEFCON last year.
I didn't realize it was Death Ray Designs.
Yeah.
That stuff's sweet.
It is sweet. They have a system where it's a modular, so there's like a square base, and they have little hooks on the side, and so you can add elements to really kind of shape and customize your terrain.
That's pretty cool.
It's a really sweet system. Tricky part with Dead Zone.
It was a little bit hard, but...
They're a little bit bigger than the squares. And so, unfortunately, probably can't use them in regulation. But what I've done with mine is that I've basically kind of drawn on the squares to cube it out. Basically,
sure.
The height's just about right. And then from there, essentially, it's just like, well, here's just terrain that overflows into another cube, and that's all.
I think we should have the next tournament we have. I think everybody should bring their own table.
That'd be kind of neat.
Because, you know, like, you have the Death Ray design stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I have the Uncertain Scenery stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Adam made that floor, that
forest. Oh, yeah, the forest thing.
Thing. And then we had Tim had the military base.
Yep, yep.
So we've had all these kinds of different, and then we've seen some great ones online.
Oh, yeah.
So instead of having a tournament where we just put our scenery out, we kind of cool to have a tournament where you bring a board.
That would be really cool. And have that be part of the competition.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. So
to think about that.
To kind of circle back for Death Ray design. So to kind of braid it into the Warpath thing, I just popped on their site today actually, and found out that they have movement trays for
Warpath,
and not just.
And they have cool designs.
Yeah, they don't just have the typical MDF ones. Like, yep. They also have Kings of War movement trays and stuff like that. But they have some really cool, I think it's acrylic. Let me see. Yep. So they're acrylic movement trays that you can get.
Acrylic movement trays.
And they have a couple of different sizes. So basically, there is a design worked into the movement tray. And you just place your guy, you can pop out.
Yeah, but look section. At that. No. Go back. That's their base. You put the bottle on that base, and it goes in that board, and you have a perfect set.
That too.
That is awesome.
It is pretty sweet.
And I want those.
They've got them in sets where it's
I really unit didn't of two, need you to show me this.
Unit of three, and up to units of five is what they've kind of got so far.
Which is the Warpath.
Yeah. So I'm not sure when they came out. It kind of snuck under my radar, and I hadn't noticed it when it initially launched. But this is really cool
That's
to see.
That's pretty cool.
And the stuff they put together is quality. It's really solid and sturdy. Yeah. And so I definitely recommend if you're looking for some really, and I mean they have quite a few ranges of terrain. They've got some fantasy stuff. They've got a lot of sci-fi. Whether it be, you know, the gothic world of Warhammer or...
Gonna have to go check them out.
Yeah, yeah.
I was kind of with you when you got your stuff last year.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we kind of did that whole where we were all over the entire show floor. And I guess I just didn't spend enough time looking at what they actually had.
Yeah. It's worth checking out.
Yeah.
I definitely recommend it. And if even if you do play like some of those other sci-fi games or wanted to spruce up maybe a game of Shadowrun or something like that. For those RPG fans out there. Check them out. And
ha! You found something I dislike more than the Asterians. Shadowrun. I could never get into it.
That's
just
fair.
Wasn't my thing.
That's fair.
I don't think it was the world. I think it was
the
dice
book?
System.
Oh, the dice system is... The dice system is a little system. Different.
Anyways.
Yeah. Not to critique another game on this...
Not at all.
On this podcast about Mantic games.
We don't even critique the games we play. We just play them and have fun.
Yeah, yeah. So kind of the next thing on kind of hobby spotlight and stuff like that, and kind of keeping within, like, Star Saga, we've got... Manu Ezekiel, and I apologize if I just butchered your name.
It's what we're good at.
We're
okay,
great.
It's what I'm good at.
We're great at that. He recently posted a great collection of his Star Saga terrain. And
like, ours doesn't look anything like that.
Oh,
that stuff is
it's
so beautiful.
So cool looking, and it's incredibly detailed. We'll be posting some of these shots in the show notes. He's got like a little diorama kind of set up, but it's like all the gun racks. Like, there's a lot of color in it too, which is the really cool thing.
It actually looks like a gun rack.
Yeah, like the
items on the shelves.
Bookshelves have different colors to them. It's got like a tan. The tables have like browns on them, not just all like the slate gray like you typically see. The terminals are all really nicely done. The tanks, the holding tanks, are a bright color.
Now, what I think we need... So, to go along about... Obviously, this isn't recent hobby shout-outs, but Shane.
Mm-hmm.
Remember his from last year?
Yeah.
He made that tank and he did it with the
He did a really cool epoxy thing.
Whatever he did in that, that looks so amazing. I want to try and duplicate that.
Yeah.
Someday.
So I don't think we, I don't know if I'd be able to track down a picture of it, but basically that he was able to create one
challenge
where
accepted.
You basically could see, like he put a little guy inside this like clear, he cleared out the center from being like a solid plastic to being a see-through, you know, translucent
tank. He put
tank.
A model in there too.
Yeah. I think it was probably a plague victim of some kind.
Yeah, I think it was.
But really, really cool stuff. I even love, like, the one thing I really love about the detail that Manu was able to put together is on the tables where there's a couple of them that have, like, little, you know, magazine, like gun clips.
Yeah.
That are just laying there. And they really pop. He's got them in a different color than the table itself. And they really, you know, have a great contrast, too. Definitely I'll be posting some of these pictures, check out below. But hopefully it gives you some ideas on how to paint your own stuff. Cause that's always a fun thing about finding these paint schemes. For, I know scenery in particular for me is always a big challenge of like, oh man, what do I paint this thing to look like?
I'm not very good at it.
And so it's always awesome to see the creativity coming out of the scene on the Fanatics page.
Yes. So that also comes up with you. You finish yours. I haven't finished mine.
Oh, the...
So for Adepticon, yep. We have terminals for each of the tables.
Yep.
Yours look really cool. I love that. So I'm forcing you to post a picture on this of your own stuff.
Yeah, I'll post mine.
Because I love the little details you did on each of the screens and how it's not like generic the same on every single one of them. I like that touch.
Yeah. I you know, went to town on them. I know I had to do like 8.
Yeah.
And everything. We got quite a few of them together. I like the design you have on yours too.
So green's pretty neat. Yeah, green, blue, and base colored white so far. They're not exactly done.
Yeah, yeah. They're on their way.
They're getting there.
But yeah, so on top of that, as I think Rick is still trying to track down this picture.
I'm trying to see if I can find this.
There's...
I'm going to have to keep doing it. So, over on the Dead Zone Fanatic site, I had some great conversations with... His name is Justin Wickman. So, him and a buddy have done some campaigns. And they created these campaigns and they did the whole storyline behind them and then followed them up with everything you need to play them. And he sent them to me. And I think it's something that we really need to go into because like this one is Dorian and it's Planet Dorian, 6J54. He's got this description of it. He's got the mission objectives of what's going on. Why you're there. He's got each of the missions that you'll do in the campaign. Like these are like five mission campaigns. They're pretty simple. And he's broken it down into the missions that you're going to go on. Like this one is scatter, scour, breakthrough, stop the signal, and divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got special rules. They've created some special rules, both by their own, through the stuff that's already in the mission packs and like stuff from the old campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have their strike team points for each of the missions. I can't wait till we can sit down and play some of these. The fact that they went through together and both of them, his buddy, created this thing is because they enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that I love the most about these games is being able to create something that's tangible.
Mm-hmm.
That you can show other people that you enjoyed.
Yeah. And it's also nice to see, too, like that campaign is designed around two players. I know there's a couple other campaigns systems out there and Like Vanguard, for instance, has like a 3-player campaign or a 4-player campaign. And you know, admittedly, like, that's a big commitment. Like, we're doing our Dreadball League and with, you know, four people. With
4 people, it's kind of hard, even though two of us get together all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I love seeing that. It wraps into things like Star Saga.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the mission creator in Star Saga. Speaking of Star Saga, we survived.
We did. We played through our second mission, mission 2.
Yep, we actually fought our first boss.
Yep, fought our first
sort
boss.
He went down fast.
It was the stealth mission, and I won't give away everything, but let's just say
we're not stealthy.
That stealth didn't last very long.
I think we made it like one action.
I think we went one action, and then we were
like, oh wait, he reacts too. Oh crap.
Yep. But so that has been continuing. I am still working on getting those episodes out. Sure. I'm going to try and probably roll them out as a couple of sections as I go. I know I keep promising that. And
yeah, eventually we'll have something.
Yep. It's a busy time right now.
When is it not a busy time for us?
I don't know. I don't know if that exists anymore. But yeah. Speaking of Star Saga, we've been seeing some videos come out from a YouTube channel.
Solo.
Die Rollin' on YouTube.
Yep.
Has been doing missions A, B, and C.
Solo, aren't they?
Yep, doing the solo run on their YouTube channel. So go check them out. They did post them up into the Star Saga Fanatics page. I gotta get around to watching them myself, but they go through the mission. I think they do a quick rundown on the rules, and kind of walk through the play, really, which is a fun way to do it. And I think it'll give people a little taste of like, hey, this is where the fun of this game really shines.
Yeah.
So, go check out Die Rollin, D I E space Rollin without a G, because. That's awesome.
Rolling.
And I think the last big hobby highlight we wanted to touch on, at least tonight, was this one just came in earlier today from Emil Van Marwich.
Yep.
Again, I apologize. I just butchered your name horribly.
For all you Dreadball fanatics out there.
Yep. So Dreadball fanatics, particularly from a specific state in the United States. If there are any Packer fans out there... Emil went and did a little custom kit bash. I think there's some Warhammer heads on these guys, but he put together a really awesome team painted.
Is that the Tron Tex?
Let's see. He named them the Greenhouse Packers, and I don't think they're quite the Tron Tex.
No.
I think they might have come from Blood Bowl. But I think they have. Yeah, I think that's Blood Bowl. I don't play Blood Bowl, so I'm not sure. But he's painted them up in sci-fi styles, and he's got them on the Dreadball hexes.
Hey, that's awesome!
It looks great. It's got
especially
a classic,
if you're a Packers fan.
Especially the Packers fans. It kind of a classic look to the uniform too, which is kind of neat. It's the green and gold is always fun to see. So, woo, go Packers!
Sure. You know they weren't in the Super Bowl, right?
Packers always won the Super Bowl. For anyone
Packers won the really?
For anyone
Facebook.
For anyone that's ever seen Mystery Science Theater, you might get that reference.
Uh-huh.
All right, so enough of hobby highlight talking about different shows.
Sure.
So as Rick had mentioned, big thing coming up is Adepticon.
So when this releases, we're about a month away from Adepticon.
Yep.
So you are running...
Vanguard.
I am running Dead Zone.
Yep.
I've got Doomball as well.
Yes.
You're playing in League of the Night.
League of the Night.
The Dreadball Tournament.
And the Dreadball Tournament. And the Dead Zone Tournament.
Representing the Marauders, right?
Actually, I
Oh, you're killing me.
There was part of me that wanted to. It is a fun list. But there is also that part of me that's like, I don't recall what the rules are for the Brush with Death painting championship. But that's I'm putting them into that showcase to see. Because I was really happy with how they turned out. I want to show them off.
Okay. I guess I'll give it to you for that.
So the tradition. You're not... I'm not playing Rebs.
Okay.
Jeff Burbage is going to be playing Rebs.
Oh, yeah. And you made the list.
And I made the list for him.
Thanks, Jeff.
Admittedly, I don't know, Jeff, if you're listening right now, I did kind of build the list on things I wanted to see you paint. But
That's awesome.
I think it's going to be a really fun competitive list. Cool. I think you'll really like it. Rebs have come a really long way since I started playing. And I love them. I still do.
Yes, I know. You still love your Rebs.
And a lot of people have taken up the cause.
I know. It's getting harder and harder to make comments about your Go Rebs.
You know,
Thanks, John.
I do long for the day where it's just a tournament of Reb players. Because everyone has heard the call. And that Rebel yell.
I won't.
That said, what I'm actually bringing... is a GCPS army.
GCPS, holy cow.
Yeah, so one of the other things that I've always liked to do in this game is basically pick the hardest team to play.
Yep.
And then play them and till I figure out a way to make them work. And so a big part of that involves losing a lot.
So what I think is funny about that is so we go back 4.5 years now.
Oh, yeah.
It's getting really close to 4.5 years. So when I introduced you to Dead Zone,
mm-hmm.
it was Plague and Enforcers.
Yep.
There were no Rebs on my table at all.
It was Forge Fathers and Enforcers.
Was it Forge Fathers?
Yep.
Okay.
Because it was version 2's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I had the Plague, but that was my daughter's, and at that point I couldn't touch them.
Yep.
So Forge Fathers and Enforcers. Still, nowhere on my table were there any Rebs ever.
Yep.
Yet you immediately went to Rebs and stuck with them to the point where...
Through thick and thin.
Yes.
through the very thin. through the dark days of...
Two Adepticons. Multiple tournaments here.
Yep.
And you actually won our Michigan Weekend.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Our Mantic Weekend, you won that Dead Zone tournament with your Rebs.
Yep.
Somehow we ended up in these two seats.
Yeah.
And for some reason we made it back, and we're not playing the normal go-to list.
Yeah. So
GCPS.
So GCPS. And a big part of it is, I think I've talked about it on the show a bit before, it is my Gundam-themed list.
Right.
So, because I'm a sucker and I wanted to show this thing off, I was really happy with how it turned out. I've played with them a little bit in the past, but with the latest escalation updates, they had some small tweaks. They didn't have...
Little ones.
They didn't have anything groundbreaking or necessarily game-changing for them. But I've been having fun. I've been... You know, puzzling the last month or so on how I want to put together my list.
No wonder you've been so quiet when I ask you about Dead Zone.
But, and I don't know if I don't think we'll have time to go over my list tonight on the show. Especially before the event so that everyone knows what I'm bringing. But
don't worry, I'll make sure everybody knows.
Yep. But it should be a blast. It's one of those where... You know, I just love playing this game. So yes. There is that part of me that's not quite going to win, but you know, I'll still believe in the heart of the dice, and
you're gonna represent,
and I'm gonna represent.
It works.
Yeah. So it's gonna be fun. I like my GCPS for how it's turned out. I'm trying some experiments with it. which is something that's always a little tricky.
As far as I can remember, at least, I mean, obviously I could 100% be wrong on this, but you're the first person I ever saw take a drone with a shield.
I mean, they don't have beasts, so I'm like, well, I'm doing it.
Why not?
Yeah, that's one thing I've been trying to do a whole lot more lately is just to go, okay, I want to take this thing because...
Why not?
Yeah, why not? Like, no one's...
Because it looks cool.
No one's thought about it or it's you know, everyone always kind of dismisses it like a medic or an engineer or something like that. And
That's why I like where Dead Zone is right now.
Yeah.
Because right now, there are your go-tos.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to go to those.
Yeah.
You don't have to bring the same list every time. There's enough in each of the factions. Some are a little weak on it, but you know what? We got updates coming.
Yep.
I'm sure we'll hear about those at Mantic Night.
Yeah.
Because there'll be a couple people there from the Rules Committee.
Yep.
As there always is.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a couple more changes coming. But it's in a good spot because there's so many different options with each faction that you don't have to take the exact same list every single time.
Right.
And not the same lists are winning.
Yeah.
There is such a upheaval on... Dead Zone is not that game that you go in and you go, oh, I'm going to buy this list and that's what I'm going to play. Yeah. Because I'm going to win every game. No. You're not going to win every game. If you think like that.
It's been a really... competitive field with a lot of these factions. GCPS is a little bit lower on the list. I personally haven't seen them at many events.
No.
I know we've had a couple
than,
of people...
They are lower than Maison Labs, and I suck at Maison Labs, apparently.
Yeah. But...
figure that one out.
Yeah. But yeah, so, it's one of those where I'm going to try and do the best I can, but I know it's going to be a bit of an uphill battle. They don't have as many, they kind of have to work for those bigger options.
Yeah.
So like things like suppression, only their heavy weapons teams have suppressing weapons. So that's a size 3 heavy weapons crew that has to move around. And you know, falls into that category. So there's some things you really kind of have to plan around and build for.
It's a different way to play the game.
I'm like exactly like one thing that I was looking at. It's a combination. I don't think I'm going to take myself, but I was like, hey, the medbot just got added to the list. That gives them access to a defender shield for that unit. They don't get one themselves.
Yeah.
But hey, put a medbot in the same cube as your weapons team, suddenly they have armor 1 and something that can heal as an action, keeps that weapon team going, and you know, lobbing mortars I think is typically the most
the go-to
effective
of GCPS is mortars.
Indirect 4 is hard to say no to.
Yeah,
but they do have I think it's 4 different weapons that they could put on their weapons team.
Yep.
And so I'm gonna be playing around with it a little bit yet. This kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier about, you know, the recruits are one of the roughest looking unit I've seen in this game. He's I think it's 6-7 points.
Oh, it's something like that. They're super cheap.
I know he fights on 7s, shoots on 6s, and survives.
The only good fight he'll have is if he finds a sniper.
Yeah.
If he finds a goblin sniper, that's gonna be an awesome fight.
But, so like one thing I'll throw in there was, hey, I've got one of the pieces of equipment they can have is a comlink. Comlink gives, you can target a cube within range of their gun, and indirect weapons get, is it an extra dice, I think?
I think so.
To shoot that cube. And it's like, well, hey, I can get a really inexpensive unit.
Shoot on a 6.
He can
fight on a 7. Survive on a 5.
He can see really far. Like he can see far with 6. Give him this comlink, which is just I think it's 4 points to add that, and suddenly he's actually an asset to the team.
Yeah.
He's not going to see much combat, hopefully.
He better not.
But he's a great like forward observer. He can just spot the areas for me, and I just sink in the shots there.
It'll be interesting to see how you play GCBS at Adepticon.
It's good. If nothing else, it'll be fun to watch. So yeah. So that's kind of a quick rundown on my Dead Zone plans.
So then we have, so obviously, I mean, so this is our third Adepticon.
Yes.
Your second Adepticon as a Pathfinder, officially.
Yep. Officially.
You were totally a Pathfinder with me. So this will be our third one. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I think the thing that blows my mind the most is it's not like shoulder to shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
You're not cramped in this place.
No.
Rushing. At least with our Mantic games, we have that upstairs area, and it's just a blast.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging out with some of the best people I've ever met.
Yeah.
Playing these games, running up and down the stairs.
Getting those steps in.
You know, I talked about it when I was down there, but I really think going to Disney World with a bunch of teenagers was just a warm-up to Adepticon.
Yeah, yeah. What was it, 35 miles you walked or whatever?
25 to 30-some miles a day. I think it was. I think it was a warm-up to what we're getting ready to go into in a month at Adepticon.
Yeah.
Because you have all the games that we're playing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so how did, wait, you're only running one?
Yeah, I don't know how that worked out.
Must be not.
Well, it was well, Dreadball was already taken and
yes.
spoken for. Yeah. Though I'm sure I'm the ringer on if if that needs to change, and I can.
Well, that's what I'm trying to decide if maybe I ought to bring, one of my Vanguard lists just in case, because it might be easier to pull somebody to run the Doomball games than it is to play Vanguard.
It might be.
Let's see. Finish the monitors. Get the eggs painted.
I mean, I'll have my Vanguard stuff.
Well, I have Night Stalkers painted fully. But me and Night Stalkers don't get along at all. So, maybe I'll do that. We'll have to talk off.
Post-show.
I was going to say post-camera. There is no camera.
Was it? take our answer off the air.
Yeah. So, yeah, then we have Dreadball. So, we have Dreadball Tournament, which is just your traditional...
Yep.
Was it 2,200 mega credits?
I think it's 1,200.
1,200?
Okay. Yeah.
And then you have League of the Night. So what's the difference between a League of the Night and a tournament?
So the obvious part of that answer is with League play, and League of the Night in particular, is basically four quick games, in quotes, of Dreadball. But where you're tracking your experience points and stuff like that, you're building out your team, you're hiring extra players. There's a little bit more kind of growth of your team as you go through the season.
That's Thursday night?
Yes, I believe it's Thursday night.
I don't think Pat has me doing anything Thursday night.
I don't know if you're doing anything, right?
I can play League of the Night.
Pat, if you're listening, you want to keep Rick free on Thursday night. Just in case we need a rainer. Yep. But yeah, it's...
Well, I guess that also answers the whole, hey, Pat, I'll actually be there Thursday. Because originally I wasn't... I didn't know when I was going to be able to go down there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And now, of course, obviously, we've talked about this, so now we're going to be down there
probably Wednesday night.
Yeah. I mean, we'll miss setup.
No, sorry guys. It's the way work happens.
But yeah, we'll be there Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Which I'm super stoked about it. It has definitely become that big event that I wait for every year.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the hobby gaming world. Because,
yeah.
I mean, not only is it the games that we play from Mantic, but it's all the people that we met.
Mm-hmm.
And... like all the people from overseas, the other podcasters, the other YouTubers. I mean, we have wherever my dice box is. I've had so many people sign my dice box just because of Adepticon.
Mm-hmm.
Where it started, I was super... It's funny because, you know, I was really nervous to ask Ronnie for a signature.
Oh, yeah? Because
he was the first one to sign the box.
Oh, okay.
And Pat, like, nudged me a couple times, and it was like, okay. And I felt really insecure about it.
Uh-huh.
But now, knowing Ronnie and knowing Pat and
yeah.
everybody that we've met through all this, it's like instant friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what I would do without people like you and Jeff and Rob and Jack and Coach and even Georgie.
Yeah, yeah.
And Pat and Ronnie and Martin and Shane and these people that I only see once, maybe twice a year.
Right, right.
You build such a family.
Uh-huh.
Because this really is. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, we're a gaming community.
Mm-hmm.
But the Mantic, as far as I'm concerned, the overall Mantic community is more a family than anything else I've seen.
Yeah. Really, really...
Okay, I'm off my soapbox.
Well, they're really easy to approach and talk to. Yeah. Like, Ronnie's a great guy that'll tell you all sorts of secrets that he probably shouldn't tell you.
Yeah, put another drink in front of him.
Yeah, yeah. But, no, he's always a blast to see. And there's a great chemistry and mix of personalities and everyone's, you know, there's always the light ribbing that goes on. But at the end of the day, you can tell everyone really gets along with one another.
And we work our butts off, but we have so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't feel like it when, like, I forget how long I was doing, like, Star Saga demos at the booth.
I
think it was Gen Con?
Gen Con, yeah. Yeah.
And I forgot how long. I must have been doing it for a couple hours.
Didn't you get a nickname for that?
They called me, like...
Didn't Rob give you a...
It's like Starboy or something.
It's something, because Rob passed the torch to you on that one.
Yeah. But there's a little bit of a thrill of, like, demoing the game, seeing people's faces light up, and then going, hey, it's right here. And then see them pick it up, and you know that they're going to go and have a great time playing the games. And so that's a fun feeling. But to kind of circle back a little bit to your original question. So with League play, it's...
It's a tangent.
It's a tangent. The big emphasis is that your players can grow and become stronger and better over the course of the event. So that's and so I'm going to jump over to tournament play just to kind of I think further highlight some of these differences that are a bit more subtle. So like in a tournament play, you have your list. It's set for each game. It's again about four rounds, and you know you're playing the same set every time. You're going up against your opponent that's got their same set, and so there's always that challenge of, okay, I need to put together a team that can kind of combat and counter
sure.
different obstacles from different types of teams, and so you gotta kind of think tactically about that. But you know, one of the big differences is in a regular tournament game, if one of your players gets murdered to death, they you get them back. There's no penalty. Yeah. It doesn't hurt you, at least going into your next game.
Sure.
Hop on over to League play. Oh, my captain, who's, you know, I've leveled up like three times going into the second to last game, suddenly he's at risk of just getting destroyed and
pretty
killed.
Sure, your captain's always going to be at risk.
My captain's always going to die. But you have to be a little bit more thoughtful of the greater league.
Now, so we're playing our own personal league here.
Yeah.
Now, is there anything in League of the Night play?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything like shortened or changed with League of the Night versus a regular league? Or is it just rapid fire four games?
It's mostly the rapid fire. There's not... I'm trying to think if there are many differences. League of the Night is actually like one of the first... It's like the second or third time I even played Dreadball. And in some of our other friends of the show,
yep.
There was their first taste of Dreadball itself, which is fun because it's like Dreadball and then the more complicated stuff. But no, it's pretty much is the straight out of the book rules cool. for doing League.
So the reason why I asked is because, well, obviously with Adepticon. A couple friends of the show are actually looking at doing the League of the Night, and I wanted to ask you a couple questions specifically about League of the Night.
Oh, sure, sure.
For them. Coach, I hope you're listening.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a blast. And, oh, if I play League of the Night, I could challenge Coach.
Yeah, you could.
Ooh.
That'd be fun. I think, don't quote me on this, which I'm saying into a microphone where my voice is going to be transmitted and quoted to everyone that listens. I think it's going to be starting lists for League of the Night.
So you're not bringing Rebs? Are you seriously going to bring the Rebs again?
I'm going to
try it again.
I'm going to try doing Rebs again.
With no captain.
With no captain.
That's rough.
It's rough. And
good luck.
Yeah. We'll see how that goes.
So, what do you gotta get painted for Adepticon then?
The one thing that I might have left to paint is of like models for gaming. I might paint up another specialist for GCPS because I'm considering taking a different special weapon.
Sure.
And I don't have one actually on a model yet. The tricky part is it's one of the heavier weapons that only the Ranger models have, but I want to put on a regular specialist. So we'll see if I wind up doing that or not.
Sure.
I've got a lot of the tokens that I needed to ready for Vanguard and Dead Zone. Got those painted up. So, otherwise, like my Rebs team is 100% painted for Dreadball, and my GCPS are otherwise ready to go. And my Brush with Death Marauders are.
Yeah.
Are going to be there too.
I think I have a lot of work to do.
What do you have to paint yet?
Well, so I have to decide if I go with Void Sirens or my Zor for Dreadball.
Zor have the benefit.
Because they're both painted.
Yeah. Zor have the benefit of being
painted. They're both two of the teams that I have that are actually painted. But, like, I don't have the Siren. Captain, she's not painted.
The wild card one?
Yeah. And I don't know if I have enough of them painted. The Zor, I still think I need to paint something else. Maybe one more.
Maybe.
No, I should be good on the Zor. So, there's that. And then I guess it's kind of a decision on whether or not I bring a Vanguard list as backup for you. I can bring either Undead or Night Stalkers. They're painted.
I mean,
for the most part.
It makes you feel better if you're the ringer.
If the ringer, it doesn't matter what I bring. I'm going to lose anyways.
It winds up winning the tournament.
Nope. Vanguard. I really enjoy Vanguard. I am not good enough.
I do too. I am also not good at it.
Yeah. Well, cool. I don't think I have anything else for us.
Yeah, I think that covers it. Adepticon is going to be a blast.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what. Like you said, you're running Doomball. There's a lot of great events going on there. And a lot of great people. A lot of folks from the Michigan area make it out there, too. So if you want to come and hang out with any of our
gang. Which is crazy. You know, it's crazy how many people come from our local area.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have those of us that are Mantic players.
Mm-hmm.
You have a huge 40K group.
Mm-hmm.
You have Killzone group. You have an Age of Sigmar group.
Yeah.
So our other buddies, the Hobby Knockout, they have people down there that go, there's a huge group of Michigan people that go to AdeptCon. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just because, like, the last couple of years, the random people that I run into is like, hey, we go to the same shop together.
Yeah, yeah.
It is cool because you don't ever see them, but then you meet them again at AdeptCon and you hang out with them there, and it's like, oh, yeah, right on.
There's definitely, like, one of those things where, like, for some people, you can really click with them in a short amount of time and recognize them. It's like, oh, yeah, I saw you at, I saw you last year at Adepticon, or I saw you at Gen Con, or something like that. And you kind of still have this fun bond as convention buddies.
Yeah. And hopefully Michigan Toy Soldier there is again right across.
Yeah.
From
they're really
the
fun
bad
guys.
Area. And you guys can maybe get your picture with the martini glass.
Oh, yeah.
That they do every year. That was just one of those random fun things.
Mm-hmm.
And like the first year we went, I still have it somewhere. I have an Adepticon Aliens.
Oh, the little thing.
The resin kit that I actually got because I went and got a beer at a specific vendor.
Right.
Like the little carts.
Yeah.
I got the beer and they gave me the box. And I'm like, cool.
I know that you have AVP.
Not that I can use that one because it's actually, well, I mean.
It's a little weird scale.
Nah, it'd work.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, so Adepticon's going to be a blast. If you want to see us out there, we're probably planning to do some recording while we're out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, if we
try,
can.
Try and get
sneak
some,
it out there.
Some interviews in. They might be more of like little half episodes. We're going to see about recording maybe before we head out because it's right at the end of the month. So it would
record on the road.
I mean, that could happen, honestly.
That's true.
As long as one of us is focusing
I am
on
driving.
The driving.
I'm driving because I ain't doing the tech stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll just be sitting there with my laptop on my lap and my microphone in your face.
Sure, why not?
We'll see. We'll figure.
We'll
figure something out that doesn't get us killed before we get there.
That would be good.
Yeah. Pat would be mad.
You think? Oh, because it would be like, I know you're dead, but you're still coming, right?
Yep. Yeah.
You have to be here. Okay.
Yep, that's how it works.
Well,
Pharaoh has spoken.
The Pharaoh has spoken.
But yeah.
Well, good. Thank you guys for listening. Yes, we do ramble on and on and on.
Yeah, that's what we do. But it's fun.
It's part of how we've decided to take this show.
Yeah.
It goes to the standing outside talking in the parking lot for 2-3 stupid hours long.
In the cold.
In the cold.
Like in the winter we would do this.
Yeah.
And I remember the times where you told me, it's like, you should start your car so it's at least
warmed
up.
It's cold enough outside that you should start your car. Yeah, we're going to stand outside and talk. Which we did.
Yeah.
Sad.
And still do from time to time.
Yep. Well, anyways, again, thank you for listening. I've been Rick.
I've been Brian.
Hey.
Hey.
Have a good night, guys.
It's the end of the show.
Is it?
Maybe. I'm not going to stop recording for a while.
Of course not.
Because I'm just going to let it run. But do we want to figure out the unit highlight for next month, or do we just want to?
I say that we go on a whim for that one.
Yeah.
And because we will be at AdeptCon.
This is true. But what is one of the big announcements that we know is going to be at AdeptCon?
So maybe we'll be talking about Asterians.
We'll be talking about some Asterians.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Maybe not. We'll see. I do have a Asterian starter set now.
You do? I still don't have a Reb starter set. I have random Rebs.
I have a Reb starter set.
I do not have a Reb starter set. So I think I think what I have is like two of the boosters.
Oh, yeah.
And some random figures.
That's one thing I did pull out from when I was getting all my, terminals and stuff primed and ready to go, as I primed up some of the new Reb figures. Oh, so nice. Like the Sphere Hunters.
Yeah.
And the Simeon Brawlers.
Because I want to
paint them up into my Rebs colors.
Yeah, as much as I don't play the Rebs, mm-hmm. and probably never really will, I'd like to get a new starter.
Yeah.
Like the new starter with the Simeon and everything in there.
They got such a fun variety of units they do.
It's your thing. I can't touch it. It's your thing.
No, it's okay to hear that Rebel call and go, you know what?
No.
Johnny Reb needs me. No. Down with the GCPS.
No.
Council of Seven.
No, we like the Council of Seven.